Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God. But first, here's his message, How to Live Like a King.
Would you take the Word of God and turn with me to the fifth chapter of Romans? This is one of the most important passages in all of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, if you cut out this particular portion of the Scripture, there would be much confusion and chaos as to the meaning and the message of the Christian gospel. What we have here in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 21, is an explanation of why we need this salvation provided in Jesus Christ. It tells us what's wrong with all of mankind apart from God and how to fix what is wrong. We'll begin our reading in verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. That is a prefigure, a foreshadowing of the one who was to come. Verse 15, but the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift of the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came through the one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. And here's the key verse. For if by the one man's offense death reigned or ruled through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. The other day I was listening to the radio, and there's a group of old rockers by the name of Styx. But the song that they were singing on the radio struck me, and I believe it is a philosophical yet contemporary statement of the condition of so many people who live in our world today. It portrays the confusion and the chaos and the separation and the alienation that all people feel and the desire for people to know more about what life is about. Here's what Styx was singing. Every night I say a prayer in the hope that there's a heaven, but every day I'm more confused. As the saints turn into sinners, all of the heroes and legends I knew as a child have fallen to idols of clay, and I feel this empty place inside, so I'm afraid that I've lost my faith. Show me the way. Show me the way. Take me tonight to the river and wash my illusions away. Please, show me the way. And as I slowly drift to sleep, for a moment dreams are sacred. I close my eyes and know there's peace in a world so filled with hatred. Then I wake up each morning and turn on the news to find we've so far to go, and I keep on hoping for a sign, so afraid that I just won't know. Show me the way. Show me the way. Bring me tonight to the mountain and take my confusion away. And show me the way. And if I see a light, should I believe? Tell me how I should know. Show me the way. Show me the way. Take me tonight to the river and wash my illusions away. Show me the way. Show me the way. And give me the strength and the courage to believe that I'll get there someday. And please, show me the way. What a picture. What an illustration of what so many people in our world are feeling. the sense of alienation, the sense of lostness, that emptiness, and wondering what's wrong with our world, what's happened to the world. We read our newspapers, we turn on the television, and we're overcome, it seems, by the evil that surrounds us. And we feel down deep inside that there's something wrong, but we don't quite understand it. There's a nursery rhyme that most of us know. I guess all of us know. We've learned it from our youth, from our childhood. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all of the king's horses and all of the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. Now, what do you see when you hear that nursery rhyme? Well, most of us see a big fat egg with legs falling off a wall, don't we? But you know, that little rhyme doesn't say anything about eggs, does it? It was actually written in a day school primer in New England to teach boys and girls to read and to rhyme. And that little rhyme was about the King of England, the mighty king who was sitting on a wall with all of his king's horses and all of the king's men. But once the king fell and was broken into pieces, all of the king's horses, all of the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. When Adam, the original man, destined to rule in the Garden of Eden, fell into sin, mankind broke into pieces. And all of the king's horses, man's best efforts, and all of the king's men can't put Humpty back together again. Let me say, first of all, that the Scripture strictly and directly teaches that Adam and Eve were real people in a real time, in a real place. Jesus believed that. Paul believed that. Some have suggested that Adam and Eve were simply legends or myths. But the Bible says in Adam and through that one historical individual, the first man, the first woman, Adam, sin entered into the world. If you know your Bibles, you know what happened. God put the couple, the first couple, there in the garden and said, "Everything is yours. You can rule over all the world and this pristine paradise in which you have been placed. All of it is yours. You can eat of every tree of the garden. It's yours. Except do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, lest you die." God gave man a choice. Man was made in the image of God. He was not a robot. He was not an automaton. But God made man with the possibility to choose, not a puppet on a string. And so God gave him a focal point of choice there in the Garden of Eden. Satan slithered into the garden and said to the woman, "Did God say?" And immediately a question mark was put on the Word of God. "Hath God said, if you eat, you will die? You will not surely die." And you know that Eve yielded to the temptation. And Adam came, and with his eyes wide open, debate as you will concerning Eve's response and Eve's choice, Adam came with direct disobedience, his mind made up, his eyes wide open, and chose to disobey the strict commandment of God. He ate of the fruit, and when he did, he died. Oh, he didn't die physically, at least immediately he didn't die physically, though he ultimately, of course, died physically. But something happened on the inside of Adam that's called spiritual death. The lights went out in his soul and in his spirit. And while he lived a number of years physically, at that moment, the seeds of death entered into his life. Spiritual death. And every man, every woman since the day of Adam is infected with this incurable disease known as sin. Sin and death rule and reign over all mankind. And when the seeds of sin were sown in the life of Adam, Because Adam is the father of the human race, and the infectious disease of sin is spread to all mankind. Therefore, and here's the heavy-duty point that Paul is making, through the offense of that one man, through the rebellion of that one man, all of mankind is ruined. All of us have participated in the sin of Adam, and therefore, death reigns, and we're living in a world full of dying people. We've seen all those statistics about death, how many people die in automobile accidents, how many people die by coronary disease and so forth. Well, here's a statistic. 1 out of 1 die. You say, wait a minute, Pastor, I came to church to be, you know, encouraged here. Now you're telling me I'm going to die. Well, we don't like to think about it, do we? We don't like to think about it at all, but it is the cruel reality that we all must face, and the stark terror of the tyrants of sin and death, Queen Sin and King Death, have dominion over all of the earth. And what's wrong with mankind is the deathly domain of sin and Satan.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, How to Live Like a King. June 30th is PowerPoint's financial year end, and we need your help. A generous friend has offered to match every gift given to PowerPoint this month. So any gift you give to PowerPoint will be doubled, allowing us to keep the hope of Jesus Christ coming your way and going out to millions more all over the world. And when you give, we'll say thanks by sending you Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, How to Live Like a King.
Through one, the offense came to many. Now that's the downside. But hey, I want to give you the upside of down this morning. For what Paul is saying and what the clear teaching of Scripture is giving to us here is that if in Adam all die, then in Christ all are made alive. That's what verse 17 says. Read it with me again. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who received abundance of grace, superabundance of grace, and of the gift of righteousness will rule or reign in life through one, Jesus Christ. Now, if Adam represents ruined humanity, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, represents rescued or redeemed humanity. If in Adam we are sinners, then in the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, we are called saints. If in the family of Adam death rules, in the family of the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, deliverance rules. If it is by the offense of one Adam that we all die, then it is by the obedience of one, the second Adam Christ, that we all live. What happened? The one, the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, the man-God, in Jesus Christ, we have redemption because Christ took our sin. And in a finite moment of time, God in Christ took upon Himself the offense, the infinite offense of all mankind. All of the sin, all of the death, all of the hell of humanity was laid on Jesus Christ. Every sin, both those vile and wicked sins that we know about, and some not so vile, some so-called respectable sins, all of that was laid on Jesus. And in that one act, by that one individual in a stirring, unbelievable, unflinching, obedient act of love, in that one act, all no longer ruined by sin, but now rescued from sin, now no longer ruled by sin and death, but overcoming, we reign in life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We rule in life because God made you to have dominion over sin and death. God made you to live like a king. And the gospel of Jesus Christ lifts us and elevates us. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. This life brings death. People get into life and there's so many expectations, so many dreams, so many desires, and yet when they open the envelope, it spells death. But when you come to Christ and receive Christ into your life, and through the power of the cross, through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can now rule and reign through life. That is, there's no circumstance in life, there's no situation in life, but that we can reign as kings. We don't have to be victims, we can be victors. We are more than conquerors through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Christian, get your head up. You're a part of the royal family of Christ. You're a member of the new humanity, the new creation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. There's an unusual story in the book of Judges about a Canaanite king who was captured by the Israelites, and as his punishment for resisting and being the enemy of the Israelites, they cut off his thumbs and they cut off his big toes. And this particular king gives his testimony. He says, I know this has happened to me because I've done the same thing to 70 other kings, cut off their thumbs and cut off their toes. And here was this king, no thumbs, no big toes. With the thumbs, we grip. So he couldn't get a hold of anything, and with the toes, we walk. So here's this king, and meant to reign, meant to rule, but he's crawling under the table, begging food, rather than sitting at a table sumptuously enjoying, lavishly enjoying the fare of the king. He's crawling around for the crumbs on the ground under the table of a tyrant. What a picture of so many Christians who were made to rule and to reign over sin and death and anything in life. And yet I'm afraid that so many Christians are crawling around under the table of tyrants, overcome rather than overcoming in Jesus Christ. God wants you to live an abundant life, a victorious life, a royal life, reigning and ruling in life. That's what we have in Christ. I like the way Phillips put it. Men, by their acceptance of his more than sufficient grace and righteousness, should live all of their lives like kings. Because we have been gifted by the grace of God, let us live our lives like the kings that God made us to be. How? By the all-sufficient grace of God. That grace really is amazing, isn't it? A man by the name of Mel Trotter. He was a sot drunk. So wicked was this man that on one occasion his wife sent him for medicine for their sick child. And Mel Trotter, before he got to the pharmacy, stopped into a bar and spent all the medicine money on booze, got drunk. His daughter died. And so vile and so wicked was Mel Trotter that while his daughter was in state, laying in the coffin, while no one was looking, he reached in and stole the shoes off his dead daughter's feet and sold them for more booze. Mel Trotter was walking down the street again, inebriated, drunk, staggering. And he heard gospel music from a little mission there, a little storefront mission. And he walked through the door and he sat down, and in a near stupor, God spoke to that man. And Mel Trotter walked down the aisle of that little mission that night and gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ and received the grace of God. And God transformed his life, made him a minister. He was a founder of some of the great missions in our world. God, by his superabundant, abounding grace, saved a man like Mel Trotter. There's another man by the name of John Newton. He was raised in the home of a godly mom the first 7 years of his life, and then he was orphaned. Because he was orphaned, he was put out on the streets, and on the streets as a boy and as a young teenager, he began to live the life of the streets. He began to live like an animal. Because he looked older than he was, at about 15, he enrolled in the Royal Navy of England. But it wasn't long, because of his behavior, that they kicked him out of the Navy. So he went down to Africa, to the British colonies there, where he was actually enslaved by some colonists there and chained and put down on the ground. He lapped up his food like a dog. Somehow he was able to escape from his captors. And he went to the beach and he set a bonfire to warm himself. And when he did, there was a ship, a slave ship out there that thought that these were slave sellers that were there to sell slaves, or perhaps those who were selling ivory tusks. And so they sent a little dinghy in to find out, and they met John Newton, and he got on the dinghy and went to the slave ship. He became a popular man on the slave ship. He became a slave trader. And the captain of the ship liked John Newton so well, because of his abilities to navigate and so forth, that on one occasion when the captain was on leave on shore, he put John Newton in charge. And the first thing John Newton did when he was charged was to take the sailors down below deck, and they opened all the kegs of rum and they all got drunk. Where when the captain came back, he was enraged, he was infuriated, so he took John Newton and he threw him overboard. And when he threw him overboard, he was left to die. Someone felt sorry for him and threw out a line with a harpoon on it and literally harpooned him in the stomach and pulled him in. His wounds gaping and bleeding, they took John Newton and threw him down in the hold of the ship to die. And there in the darkness of that hold, bleeding and wounded and wasted and wicked, John Newton cried out, "Oh, God!" He remembered the prayers of his mother. He remembered the message of Jesus Christ. And he prayed, "Jesus Christ, if you're there, come into my life. Save a wretch like me." And you know what happened? There in the bottom of that boat, the superabundant grace of God flooded the soul of John Newton. What happened to him? He became the founder of the Church of England. And he wrote the words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see."
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and his message, How to Live Like a King. PowerPoint is coming up on the end of our financial year, and we've got some exciting news to share with you today. Some friends have stepped forward with a $180,000 matching grant, which will double any gift you give this month to help PowerPoint finish this financial year strong. With more people than ever searching for what only Jesus can provide, your gift today is nothing short of vital to help ensure PowerPoint remains a beacon of hope in the year ahead. And we'll say thanks for your gift today by sending you Dr. Graham's book, A Man of God, for you or someone you know. So call now to have your financial year-end gift doubled and request your copy of A Man of God as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. 3131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Well, we can only find the truth to why the human condition is what it is in God's Word. What happened in the Garden of Eden started the decline, the destruction of our world. The Bible says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have sinned. Because of Adam's sin, we have all been born into sin, and death ruled over us. Scripture says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every person is spiritually dead, and this spiritual death is the wall that separates us from a living relationship with God. It's not a genetic problem that exists in our world and in our lives. It's a spiritual problem, a problem of the heart. It's been said that the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. But listen carefully. The Bible says in verse 16 and also in verse 17 of this passage that the judgment which came from one offense, that means Adam's offense, resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through one, much more those who have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Now, friend, that is incredible news. It is good news. And this is the hope that we have in Him. Jesus has made it possible for you to live like a king, to reign and rule in life. And that is the best news you can have in a world filled with sin and death. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are no longer ruled by death, but instead you are reigning in life through Jesus our Lord.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's powerful book, A Man of God, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about the liberty you find when you surrender to Christ. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.